Thank you. Good evening. Tonight I'm going to talk just a little while about second thoughts, or might say second decisions or second chances. We're all thankful for those things. We often make decisions for whatever reason, and a lot of times they're wrong. But we do our best with those things, and sometimes we change our minds. So we're going to look at some examples from the Bible of some people there who made some first decisions that weren't necessarily good decisions, but they were blessed to have time to change those things and have a second decision or second thoughts on those things and make changes in their lives for those. And that's very important to us as we make our walk through life, trying to be right by God. Again, we don't make the best decisions a lot of times. So we'll look at these examples as our lesson tonight. We can learn from them and get encouragement from them as well. We're going to start over in Luke chapter 15 at the prodigal son. Of course, we all know the story. All these, we should know pretty much all these stories. But we see here that the son wanted to live it up on the wild side for a little while. He wanted to sow his wild oats, so to speak. And we start in verse 11 of chapter 15. It says, "He said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And so he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." We soon see that his riches failed him in verse 14. "When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he set himself into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." So we see the predicament that he's in at this time. But he was forced to rethink. He made a bad decision. Maybe he was forced to rethink what he should be doing. One thing made sense at one particular time to him, but now it didn't make any sense at all. But luckily he had an opportunity to make changes. And the second thought led to the only sensible thing that he was to do, and that was to return to his father. Drop down to verse 17. "When he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Many will not do this because of fear, may be seen as a failure. Pride gets in the way a lot of times, but again we see that he made the right choice here. Closer examination of the situation led him to see the consequences of what he had chosen in his first decision. And he could see he made mistakes, and he saw that he was wrong. And he wanted to do what was right, and so he acknowledged his error. Verse 21. "And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and began to be merry." Again, he didn't try to justify his actions. Sometimes we do that. People do that. He just realized he was wrong. He didn't go back with a proud and haughty look, but rather he had one that was clothed in a cloak of humility. It's something we can learn from that. Next one's going to be the rebellious son. Turn over to Matthew chapter 21. Similar story in a lot of ways. Matthew 21. And again, this is a similar situation to one we just found in the other parable. This son here refused to obey his father. He rebelled against what he was told to do. We'll begin in verse 28. "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.'" Again, he refused to obey his father. And some today have this very spirit themselves. Sometimes we can have that ourselves. And we refuse outrightly to obey God in all things, whether it be baptism or whatever it may be. Things we know we're supposed to do or should be doing, we refuse to do those things at first. But after a closer examination, again, once of himself, this rebellious son had second thoughts. And we continue in verse 29. It says, "He said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and he went. So he had second thoughts, second decisions, and he was lucky enough to have the time to do those things. But this shows that it's never too late to reexamine our decisions that we have in life and to change what we have at first thought was a good choice. Maybe we thought it was a good choice. Hopefully we're not making choices that we know are bad. A lot of times we think they're good, but they're wrong. But all people who have not made their lives right with God need to have second thoughts about their eternal destiny. We need to think about that daily with ourselves. Third example is from the Apostle Paul. As we know, he was earlier called Saul, and he was blinded to the truth, as were many of the religious leaders at that time. As we know his story, it took the physical presence of the risen Savior to appear before him, and also his physical blindness that ensued that he experienced on the road to Damascus when he saw Jesus there, to open his spiritual eyes that he might see and accept the truth of God's word. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. We know how Saul had been living, the persecutions he'd been doing, the decisions he'd been making. Although he thought those things were correct, he found that he was wrong, but he was having an opportunity to make a second decision. Verse 8, and Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was there for three days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. When Paul's physical eyes were opened, then in verse 18, let's drop down there real quick. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And so he made that good decision here. Again, his heart was open to the truth. He saw he'd been wrong, and he changed his mind and made a second decision for those things. Again, his second thoughts, as we know, he did much good for the cause of Christ over the rest of his life. He's a good example for us. Our next example is going to be Peter. We know that Peter loved the Lord and all he did. He stated it many times. However, Peter was also quick to act a lot of times. Many today are just like Peter, and we're apt to make bad mistakes, bad decisions, even though we don't mean to. Peter was quick to deny that he would ever deny Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. And as he's saying this, you know, he's not lying. He's believing what he's saying here. But he made poor decisions later. But anyway, beginning at verse 33. And Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples at this time. Again, we know Peter made a severe mistake, though. He didn't mean to, but he did it. And he denied Jesus. Let's drop down to verse 69. But he made those decisions to do them. He was wrong in his first decision. 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. When he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him, and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. A little later, those who stood by came by and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. He began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And so he went out, and he wept bitterly. Again, because of his love for the Lord, it made him repent. He was sorry for those things. He made second choices. He made a mistake, but he did not keep on doing those same things. He started doing things aright in the sight of the Lord. After the resurrection, we see Peter made a positive affirmation of this love that he had for him. Turn over to John chapter 21. Again, he was fortunate enough to have the opportunity and the time to make changes. John 21 will begin at verse 15. And so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And again, Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Later, Peter would give his life for what he preached and what he believed. We know he was beaten. He was imprisoned and killed, according to history. Yet this did not stop him in his decision to stand for Christ. So he's a great example to us. He made those changes. Next one is going to be Naaman. Let's turn over to 2 Kings. Chapter 5 of 2 Kings. Again, Naaman, as we know, he was angry. This prophet had come to him, this prophet of God, and given this remedy for his leprosy, but he chose the wrong way to get rid of it, or he thought he had. Chapter 5, begin at verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious. He went away and said, indeed, I say to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. That's what he thought. He wanted to see some great thing. But in verse 12, we see he received nothing as we read on. Are not the Abana and the Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Can I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and went away in a rage. He hadn't had his leprosy taken away yet. He received nothing because of his decision. But we see he decided to do the right thing. Drop down to verse 14. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Again, this action benefited him greatly, but his first decision did not. And so in many cases, it would be good for each of us to examine ourselves and to have those second thoughts as we make our decisions. Turn to Jonah, our next example. Jonah chapter 1. We all know that story too. Jonah tried to run from God. God wanted him to do something and he didn't want to do it. And so he went the wrong way to try to get out of doing what God had demanded of him. Chapter 1 of Jonah, begin at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Again, a poor decision. He got into trouble for this decision by his first thoughts and actions, and he suffered the punishments of those actions. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind of the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship was about to be broken up. Drop down to verse 15. So they picked up Jonah, they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then drop down to verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah made a bad decision, but luckily he had an opportunity to rectify those things. In this belly of this great fish, he had second thoughts about what he had done and his decisions. Turn over to chapter 2 and verse 1. And Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And down in verse 10. And so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Again, his situation certainly aided. He was in a dire situation there. But it aided his ability to make, stop and think about what he had done and reconsider his decisions. And we see that he made the right decision. Chapter 3, he decided to do the right thing. Begin at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. And so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So he made that good decision. Our next example is going to be over in Acts chapter 8, and that's Simon the sorcerer. And this one's a little unique because we're talking about a Christian here. Simon had obeyed the gospel, but even after so, he didn't make a good decision. As a Christian, again, he sinned. Chapter 8 and beginning at verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter cautioned him about his words, what he chose to say. And it was a soul situation in this situation. Verse 20. But Peter said to him, "Your money perishes with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." So Peter told him how it was. In this rebuke, again came the stern voice of admonition. Verse 22. "Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." And this led Simon to make a second choice, second decision, second thought. Having these things, he was told again of the severity of his mistake. Verse 23, we'll read. "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." That's some pretty strong words. Yet despite his error, he considered and he decided to make his life right with God in verse 24. "So Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me.'" So again, he had the opportunity to make those things right, change in his life, and go in a different direction. Our next example is going to be from 2 Samuel chapter 11, and that's of David. Second Samuel and chapter 11. Now we all know David. He was a man after God's own heart. He was the king of Israel. He loved God and gave all his all to the service of God, writing all the many psalms that he did. And yet still he was able to go wrong, as we know this story about Bathsheba as well. Chapter 11, we'll begin at verse 3. "So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" And of course we know the story that David sent. Let's keep continuing reading. "David sent messengers, took her, and she came to him. He lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity. And she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. And so she sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" Again, poor decisions that he made. He did wrong. But by making a bad decision, he then compounded this, as we sometimes do, by making another bad decision, trying to cover up the fact. Chapter 11 and verse 15. "And he wrote in the letter saying, 'Set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die.'" Again, he tried to cover up his mistakes by making two bad choices here. And he had grim consequences because of his first thoughts that he had. Chapter 12 and verse 15. So again, as we know, sometimes we make bad decisions. We make second decisions to rectify those things, but there's consequences still for our poor decision in the first place. Verse 15. "Then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that was Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill." Verse 19. "When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead, and therefore David said to his servants, 'Is the child dead?' And they said, 'He is dead.'" Again, yet despite this, David had second thoughts. Let's turn over to Psalms. Psalms in chapter 51, beginning. Verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." He made things right with God. Chapter 32 of Psalms. Verse 5. "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Again, he made that good choice. Meaning today, ourselves, we need to have that heart of David and return to God when we mess up, instead of trying to cover things up with the wrong in our lives or make excuses. Our last example is going to be Solomon. And we know Solomon was a man of wisdom. This wisdom was given to him by God. God blessed him with wisdom. and he used it for the most part in the right way. He made some bad decisions, though. In his later life especially, he misused and tried every pleasure. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2. First part of verse 10. Tells us here, he says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. He didn't hold anything back. Again, here's this giant of wisdom also shows that the most important thing is changing your life. He had second thoughts. Verse 11 of chapter 2. He thought some more and he said, then I looked at all the works that my hands had done, and the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. He realized he made bad choices and the rewards for those things. And we'll finish up again as he came to his conclusion in chapter 12. We have more scripture reading. After all his thoughts and thinking about all the decisions he had made, he realized, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. That's our lesson for this evening. If there's anyone here who needs to obey the gospel, or you've done it in the past, but you've made some bad decisions, and you need to repent of those things publicly, you have opportunity now as we stand and sing.